power of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks. Good afternoon. Once again, the Power Hour has arrived. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I'm seeing that CCRI has now tweeted out all clear at the Knight campus. No active threat was identified. Warwick PD will remain on the campus for the remainder of the afternoon. Normal activities will resume. Somebody reported, maybe under fake news, but some student or someone reported, I think I see a man with a holster. And now it turns out that they can't find anything. So that story, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, I guess. Better safe than sorry. But no active threat identified. Initially, there was a thought, anyway, of somehow some kind of a potential of an active shooter at the Warwick campus, CCRI, but all clear. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Whether it's lunch or dinner, a great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Folks, they have the lounge, the big screen TVs. They'll be packed for the Super Bowl. Stop in and see them, lunch or dinner. Great kitchen, known for their famous salad bar. Always stocked with fresh vegetables and more. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Well, it's Monday, and it's Political Monday. And joining us, as he does each Monday, he is the managing editor for OceanStateGarment.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Justin. Justin, I want to start off a story that was rather bizarre last week. I spoke with Representative Patricia Morgan about it on Friday. But it's just more of the underhanded activities going on. There's obviously some kind of a situation where the head of the Senate president, used to be known as the Senate Majority Leader, but the Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, and kind of a standoff with Speaker of the House, Nick Mattiello, seemingly focused on the Plasac Stadium, but who knows, there could be other things at work. So Senate Republican Minority Leader Algier arranges to have a dinner set up between the two gentlemen, plus Joe Cicacci, who is Mattiello's right-hand guy. And so suddenly you have four members of what's known as the JCLS, which controls this budget, who has not met in several years, and I think Montanaro's is involved with that. Well, anyway, it becomes public. Patricia Morgan said, so they end up having like a wasted social dinner in Cranston, and then after the dinner, Senate President Ruggiero and Speaker Nick Mattiello excuse themselves, go downstairs where they have, you know, a separate room and a bar and a meeting area and so forth. And she believes Cicacci went with them as well. And then who knows what was discussed. But suddenly the media caught wind that the two men were going to talk. And then suddenly you need to have everybody at the table. As she said, instead of having a productive meeting, it becomes they talk about pets and family and sports. And then the whole thing ultimately is like a waste of time. What is your whole take on the way that whole thing went down last week?
Well, on the one hand, you know, people, politicians do need to discuss things, not necessarily in public view, but it goes to show you the problem with putting so much power in the hands of two people who can pretty much make the decisions for the entire General Assembly. The idea that, I mean, even if Cicacci went with them, we're still talking about a majority of the committee, which I tried to find quickly whether this was true, but should be under the open meetings laws of the state. So when you have five committee members, if a majority can get together, they can't just get together without announcing it to the public, saying they're meeting. If there's a reason to do it privately, declare it, you know, in writing, we're going into executive session. The whole idea that we're doing this back room stuff, especially with a committee that apparently doesn't really have any power, you know, because they never meet. So it seems to me the basic thing that they ought to do is make honest people of our legislative leaders and essentially rewrite the rules so that the Speaker and the Senate President control the General Assembly's budget. And there you go. You're done with these. You just admit that, and you're done with all these performances. But I think the idea that they're getting together, they excluded one person for no reason at all that anybody's been able to explain, except perhaps that she's the only one who wouldn't have been necessarily amenable to discussing business and not telling anybody. And then that just becomes a social hour, so that three, still a majority, it sounds like, can go actually do the business. You know, it just leads to, I don't know if you remember when we were younger, there was one of those after-school commercials, a bunch of weird guys dancing around talking about how if you tell one lie, it leads to another. That's what you get here. So suddenly it's, oh, no business was discussed. This was just a casual thing. We were trying to mend fences socially, I guess. Mr. Algiers paid the bill. Yeah, this is nothing to worry about. And nobody's going to buy that. And it just, ultimately, you end up losing faith and trust in your government, which is a kind of a high bar to have Rhode Islanders lose even more faith, but they seem to be finding ways to do it up there on the Hill.
You know, you're exactly right, Justin. And not only that, but then, all right, so now you have the opportunity to actually have a productive meeting of this group, and then, but they didn't post it 48 hours, I believe, or something like that. So then it's a complete wasted dinner. And, you know, you go back to the fall when Mattiello said, you know, we were going along, he and the speaker, and remember the whole handshake, hug, Tuesday, handshake, hug. We had lunch in my office, handshake, hug, and everything's going along, and then the whole thing just kind of fell apart, or maybe that, I don't even remember when it was. Now maybe it was back into the spring when they were trying to hammer things out, and then they were at the impasse. So you have individuals that are trying to get them at the table, which does seem frightening in itself. These are supposed to be two leaders. They're obviously, you know, grown men, and you have Algier and Sakachi trying to step in to get the two of them together, and then when the cover's blown and Patricia Morgan's not invited, now it's like, so how are your kids doing, and, you know, what kind of dog do you have? I mean, granted, they weren't doing it during business hours, but what on earth, why wouldn't it occur to them of, you know what, let's postpone the dinner, and we haven't had a meeting for a while, and let's do that. Because there is something wrong if they're not speaking, but it's another one of those things, Justin, where you're exactly right. They went out of their way to say no business was discussed at the dinner. But it becomes overboard, because then business is discussed. It just wasn't discussed at the table, as Algier and Morgan were kind of ushered out and the other three went downstairs. So it's so, like, are we ever going to get past these dog and pony shows? Which, as you say, no one believes what they're saying, but they still just put it out there anyway.
Right, and well, keep in mind too that this committee, the Joint Committee on Legislative Services, meets to govern the budget of the General Assembly. So things like the PawSox deal or other political issues aren't really part of the JCLS's purview. It could have just been an accident that Algier was the one trying to make amends. Maybe he was in a strange position where he's friendly with both. I don't know their personal relationships. But so this committee was presumably kind of meeting not even to discuss things within their purview. What it all goes to show is, or should highlight for all of us, is how government is supposed to work, where we elect legislators who go there and through a process where they're all equals, debate things in committee, make real decisions in committee that go to the floor where there's a real debate that really has, the outcome is not known beforehand. But that's not the way we like to let things work in Rhode Island. So we get the dog and pony shows, and we will continue to, unless we start sending people to the General Assembly, which I presume this is why Morgan was left out in the first place. We send people to the General Assembly who aren't going to abide by those wink, nod, hug, handshake rules and insist, hey, let's have actual meetings where the public can have a say and we can actually change our minds and surprise each other on how we vote. Unless we start sending those people to the General Assembly, we're going to get this out of our government.
What do you make of where Mattiello comes down on the whole PawSox thing? I mean, part of this, Justin, we have been hearing about this now for how long? And now, we're basically, Thursday is February 1st. There's still no sense that they are even close to a deal. I spoke to someone on the Paw Sox side that said Mattiello is like a moving target. Every time, you know, it's like musical chairs. Every time he says this is the reason, when they try to address that area, then he says it's something else. And when they try to address that area, he says it's something else. He definitely is without question the sticking point here. And I'd like your assessment. I mean, I hear everything from that he certainly from day one felt out of the loop, right? The Paw Sox met with the governor. There was the meeting at Providence Equity Partners with Larry Lucchino, the governor, Paul Salem, who then has jumped in as a partner. There was obviously the mayor of Pawtucket has been actively involved. Senate president met with Lucchino. They were all on board. And each time, Mattiello would say, well, you know, I haven't heard from them, and the governor's got to be behind it, and it's not our proposal. And he was sending out red flags that, you know, he was definitely sitting home and no one was calling him to go to the prom. And right now, I have just heard that he is very, very difficult, but they can't pin him down on, is this truly he's afraid that Frias, Steve Frias, could come in and defeat him in the district? I hear from other people that he feels that Raimondo's getting donations. Ruggiero's going to get a bonus when they build a $150 million stadium. And he doesn't, you know, the team doesn't want to be on the short end of this, like, overrun costs, which are going to be through the roof. And that he initially was promised a lot with Skeffington when it was going to be the Providence Stadium. He was all on board. I don't buy the whole thing about afraid of people in his district, because it certainly didn't stop him with the truck tolls. If he had gone door to door on the truck tolls, I'm willing to bet his constituents in Cranston would not have been on board on that. And that didn't stop him from going ahead and jamming that whole thing through. So I guess my question is, what is your read on, and you talk with a lot of people, but what do you think is actually going on in your read on Mattiello?
Well, my sense of it, I see all these things as connected. So it's not one or the other. It's the greater the opposition to something, the higher of a insider payoff a politician's going to want in order to buck that populist trend. And at the same time, if the theory is that he's negotiating for something out of the deal, then the more he can say, hey, look, I have an excuse not to go with it. You're not going to pressure me because my people don't want me to do it, and my voters, that is, then he can negotiate an even better deal if that's what's going on. So I see the two as connected. I don't know. I do think the electorate, it is a powerful thing. I think that the leaders of the two chambers in the General Assembly can be knocked out in a local race. And the fact that it almost happened with such a disparity in the budgets of the two campaigns last time around, that's got a way on people's calculations. So I buy that's a big part of it. That doesn't mean that there's, I think that has a more of an effect on the price in he might want to charge, so to speak, rather than an on-off switch. But it brings me right back to the idea that every legislator ought to be in that position, not just the leadership and two leaders plus the governor who can do this dance.
Well, he definitely the speaker now. He has kind of been tough to pin down, because first it was the people in his district. Then he said, well, I'm going to talk with some of my colleagues here at the State House and bring it to them. And then, you know, maybe it should go on the ballot. And that was, number one, they said it was unconstitutional. Number two, from what I understand, no one was on board, because then it became, well, you know, why are we here if it's just going to go on the ballot? So he doesn't seem to have, like, a legitimate gripe. But I just come back to, how is it that he's the only one, and you're right, that would then be afraid that it would have hurt his reelection bid? For instance, Ruggiero's up for reelection, and he doesn't seem in the least concerned that the stadium would hurt his chances of getting reelected. Raimondo's running for reelection. She doesn't seem concerned, in fact, that it would hurt reelection. Why is he so, if that's really the reason, why is he so concerned that that would then cost him the election? As I said, he certainly didn't seem that concerned about the toll bill. And I don't know, but I'm not alone. I mean, no one seems to be able to pin down exactly what you know, in any situation of there's like the hidden objection of what's really behind it or the hidden decision maker. I still don't think that has been fleshed out. What's the real objection to the whole thing? Or he's not sharing it.
Well, yeah, I always assume that there's some ulterior motive in all these being weighed in the balance. That's why they have their secret meeting, so they can discuss, here's my real problem with this bill. I would, though, maybe differ a little bit on the governor's response. At some points in this whole process of discussing the Paw Sox Stadium, people have expressed surprise that she wasn't more vocally in support. The Commerce Corp negotiated that, she didn't really seem to be pushing it as hard as people thought, given that her Commerce Corporation was so deeply involved. And that could be a function of knowing that it's not the most popular thing in the world right now. So that we could be seeing an effect there, whereas Ruggiero perhaps just feels so safe in his district that, you know, he's not too concerned about upsetting anybody, especially since he's up there in a general area that would have the benefits of this park and all that goes with it, as well as the labor happiness with him for getting it. So there is some indication that there is on top of the ulterior motives, the real political problem that Rhode Islanders have been stung a lot now by these kind of deals and aren't really willing to sacrifice another risk for a minor league baseball team. So in some regard, it's kind of hopeful. I wish we could be more confident in the motivation of our leaders.
Hey, Justin, let me ask you about the race for governor. As much as people thought initially it would be, you know, a lot of moving pieces and everything else, right now, we still have no sense that Chafee is getting into the race. Yes, you have the potentially three Republicans. I mean, the whole Giovanni Ferrosi thing, we're like going to have to wait and see. He has not filed. He has no type of campaign account. He's not raising anything. I mean, we'll see come July if he's truly in it. Is still Governor Raimondo has fend off. There's still no progressive coming forward against her. It does seem to be Funk Morgan. But my question is, do you think is, quote, independent, he jumped independent, is, I know it's early, but is Joe Trillo, in your mind, is he gaining any traction, or do you see a path that he could gain traction and really, you know, take fire and be a force in this? So far. I get that we still have a long way to go.
I just don't see him an attraction enough to throw it to Raimondo, I think. Attraction enough to take away enough of the anti-Raimondo vote that she wins. Attraction enough to win, I just don't see it. Not only because he's a legislator, so it's not as if he's a well-known quantity in a state. So he has to introduce himself to the state and going out and being the candidate who puts out the most fiery press release every time there's an issue to comment on, that's not going to get him the attention he wants as he needs it across the state. It'll turn off a lot of people. They might get to know his name, but that doesn't really get him over the finish line. And plus, if you look at, I mean, he has no real story to tell as far as being, I don't know, an elder businessman like Kirchiri or a municipal executive like Fung, or even, you know, House Minority Leader like Patricia Morgan. So he's kind of outside of the you know, qualifications that you would want in a governor, and he's not really doing it much to expand any kind of base he might already have. So his strategy has been, it's almost like he's running a primary strategy, but he's not in a primary. He's in a general election. So I don't see him getting through and winning the whole thing. I do, at this point, it looks likely, especially given the disparity of money between the governor and all the other contenders, it seems likely that he could pick up enough of the Trump-supporting types and the people who want that fiery language in the politics. He could pick off enough of them to give it to the governor and let her take another term. I don't see him winning.
again, it is a long way to go, but something that I noticed that no one is really responding to him, as far as, you know, Fung and also Morgan are just not taking the bait and responding to him. I did have Mayor Fung on, and when he was saying the pansy comment, but something else that the media has not focused on yet, Justin, again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with, it's Political Monday, Justin Katz, Ocean, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Joe Chillo is 74 years old. He's going to be 75 if he were to win to become governor. You know, he's actually, Governor Kachiri's been out for 8 years. He's older than Governor Kachiri. So no one has brought up the age thing. But you're talking about someone who would be potentially, if he would win, 75 years old entering the office, and then almost 80 years old, you know, after the first term. If he were to get Governor Trillo for two terms, you're talking about someone who would potentially be 84 years old when they got out. Now, you know, I know McCain ran when he was older, and Trump has just turned and had his birthday. He's 71, but that's, do you, again, no one is, like, they're ignoring him at this point, but do you think that that's something that could be an issue down the line?
I suppose it could be. After the primary, whoever wins on the Republican side is going to have to knock Trillo's numbers down. That's probably going to be more important to the Republican contender than knocking the governor's numbers down, because the Republican will be selling something different than the Democrat, particularly in this race. So I would expect that. And the last time around, you know, Alan Fung's campaign came under some backlash for being aggressive against Bloc during the primary. So I'm sure age would be a factor. In any materials they would put out there, just trying to knock off anybody who would be thinking of that protest vote for Joe Trillo. But it's funny, we don't hear all that much about age anymore in these campaigns, probably because all the establishment parties keep serving up a lot of old folks.
True. I mean, Biden is still talking about running 2020. Bernie Sanders may even talk about running about 2020. So that's a good point. Let me jump into that last week, and I was glad it happened, but Representative Aaron Ruggenberg, who's running for lieutenant governor, you know, the progressives are very shrewd. They don't always show the hand. They don't always show exactly where they stand on things. But that press conference of universal health care for Rhode Island and, you know, businesses and everyone's going to have to pay 10%. I mean, to me, if you're Lieutenant Dan McKee, you are, this is what you've been waiting for. This is like another attack on business. It has completely failed. I would love to hear your thoughts on, I've been waiting for this, and there should be a lot more during the course of the primary battle with McKee. But Ruggenberg going out there with basically, you know, this whole universal health care, and I'm a Bernie Sanders progressive. Boy, finally the lion is starting to roar here.
Well, yeah, and to some extent, Ruggenberg has to do this stuff because so much of his fundraising and support comes from out-of-state progressives who just want to keep finding new places to push this stuff. I mean, single payer has already been proposed, taken a good distance, and then rejected in Vermont and California because the costs are just so high. I mean, if you think about it, the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, for which I'm the research director, estimates that single payer would be conservatively a $5.4 billion cost to the state. The progressives themselves estimate $3.7 billion. That's the entire general revenue budget of the state government. And so you're talking a huge number here, putting all health care in the hands of the same government that blew UHIP, has kids dying in DCYF, and basically, you know, runs the DMV. So it's not going to be outside of a progressive circle. This is, once people give this any thought at all, it's not going to be a very popular thing. On the other hand, I mean, I actually got into a little bit of a Twitter spat, I guess, with Kathy Gregg of the Providence Journal, because she's still referring to Ruggenberg as left-leaning. I mean, the guy has essentially come out and said, I'm a socialist, and we're calling him left-leaning. So that tendency to downplay how extreme progressives are is pretty settled in just the way we discuss policies. But I'm sure McKee is going to be happy to capitalize on the craziness. On the other hand, that in a primary, that's you have to tend to move toward your party's extremes during a primary. So it may be a more difficult call for McKee during the primary than one would think, and then is good for or healthy for our state. But yeah, it's as a matter of practical policy, it's almost psychotic for progressives to keep pursuing this because it's just such a horrible idea. But politically, you know, it might just work in Rhode Island to play it up, especially running for, you know, a no-show job like lieutenant governor. Enough people might say, well, Regenberg won't have any real power, so we'll put him in there and he'll keep making the progressive noises that we like until, you know, the old-timer Joe Chillo governor passes away, and then the lieutenant governor becomes the governor, which would be a terrifying thought.
We're going to ask Justin. I missed that Kathy Gregg Twitter thing. I wish I had seen that. I mean, left-leaning. Senator Reid is left-leaning. I mean, Regenberg is. He is a complete progressive socialist, as far left as you can possibly go, like Bernie Sanders. We're going to ask Justin to hold on for just a moment, and we're going to come right back to him. But, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to remind you about our friends at Mega Disposal. Mega Disposal, local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They have been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. Now, if you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. How about a swing door? Provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers. Local businesses or shops emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. You own a small business? Call Mega for your trash and recycling collection services. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. Local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They have been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You know, you see their trucks and staff collecting household trash, recycling item curbside. Many local communities like North Providence, Pawtucket, Smithfield, North Smithfield. Mega has dumpster service for small household construction projects or garage and basement cleanouts. Whether it's 10 cubic yards or 15 for a lot of garage and basement cleanups, call Mega. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway. Mega Disposal, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Single week or month, work out the delivery and then they'll remove it. Mega has smaller containers, local businesses, shops emptied on a weekly, every other week, a monthly basis. Folks, call Mega Disposal today, especially for a small business. 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. We continue with Justin Katz, Political Monday, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, in this morning's Providence Journal political scene, I mean, it is, to me, it's beyond unacceptable that these Providence reps, the number of them, that then have a job with the city. I mean, to me, this has been going on for so long. Gordon Fox was part of that whole thing. It almost goes hand in hand that if you're a rep and how it goes, it, you know, the city's going to be better served. If you're up there, you're going to work harder for the city, or it's just part of your reward for being a rep in Providence. But no other community has the number of jobs up at the Rhode Island State, excuse me, at Providence, working for the city of Providence, than these Providence reps. It is, I'm not sure. No one ever seems to do anything about it, and it just continues on and on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's almost, at this point, you know, I've been writing about this stuff for years, and I know you've been talking about it for years, and it just, you know, it's like an evergreen story that every now and then somebody will publish it, and we all can talk about it, but nobody ever really considers it. It's really, people ought to take it as an indication of that this is kind of their state. These insiders, it's their state. We just kind of support it financially. And they get to do this sort of thing. And the money swooshing around, and they all, you know, they all get to, it's almost like a supplement to their legislative pay. I saw earlier today, Republican Representative Brian Newberry was talking about the problems of getting Republicans to run for General Assembly seats. And part of the problem is they're not, tend not to be on this insider train where you get the job for a city, town, or some agency, and then, you know, everybody kind of says, oh, yeah, you're just allowed to go do this pretty time-consuming thing with the General Assembly for half the year. And that's a huge part of our problem. And it goes so deep. The other part of that same item, or a different item in political scene, was talking about the governor's chief of staff, Brett Smiley, who sold his house to Brown University
for over. Unbelievable.
Yeah, his house was assessed at $863,000. He sold it to them for over $1 million. I looked at this last year, and the real story was that the city had, when he was working for the city, had undervalued his house. So he bought it at 800 something thousand. And 2 years later, the city assessed it at 6% less, even though his whole neighborhood went up 20%. So he was getting about a $4,500 discount on his taxes, from my point of view, during that time. So it's almost like Brown just paid what the house was actually worth, but the city had undervalued it for him. And that's the same sort of, you know, they all work for the city. You get this job here, you get that job there. You know, Smiley's consulting firm, at least last year, was working for the mayor on state-level issues at the same time that Smiley's working for the governor as a state employee. It's just so corrupt, and it's just how we do business in Rhode Island. And that really, really needs to end, but it won't it's unlikely to, because what happens is these stories come out, and rather than getting outrage, basically what you get is another, let's just say, another few dozen people who are saying, you know, I can't stay in the state anymore, say, okay, that's it, I'm leaving. So the people who would be outraged just depart and go elsewhere. That's the impression I get from hearing from readers who've left over years. But there's not much more to say about it. It is like, and from a journalistic perspective, it is like an evergreen thing. You can just rehash your story every year because it never, ever changes.
The Smiley situation with him and the husband, and I mean, if that were being done with insider trading, it total is abuse. With, you're exactly right, that the evaluation's lowered, so you pay less in taxes. Brown buys it more. And then Brown even then sells it less than what they paid for. I mean, it is so obvious. But you know what's interesting, Justin, is that no one ever seems to think, boy, I should avoid any appearance of a conflict of interest. That never enters the conversation. It's the other end, which is, hey, I have the power, so what? And, like, if you think there's a problem with it, you're just looking at it incorrectly. You know, like, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? Nothing is done to deter it. Those City of Providence jobs that a lot of those reps have, I mean, for years, they're basically like no-show jobs. I mean, I know of, there was someone who was a council person who worked for the city, and it's like, forget about trying to find them. They would stop in the morning, have some coffee, be seen, make a few phone calls, and then you would never see them after lunch. And you're right, it becomes like part and parcel. I get paid to be a rep. I get my city job. And that's just, you know, the way that it's done. And then you wonder why the problems that Providence has. I have one final thing for you, and that is, do you think there's been talk that Mayor Alorza, obviously the shootings in the city, the condition of Providence, is that something you think effectively could be hung on Raimondo in the race for governor? She would be in a tough position to defend him. And it is the capital city. You never see Mayor Alorza with any other, you know, really elected officials outside of the capital city. But does that strike you as something that maybe could resonate and she would have a tough time defending?
That's an interesting question. I haven't heard. I mean, maybe there's some potential there because I am, you know, not even in political circles, but now and then you see on friends on social media just sort of joking, at this point they're just joking, say, is it safe to go into Providence tonight? There is that sort of, whether it's accurate or not, that impression is starting to become pretty broad. And in a small state where the governor is almost like an Uber mayor, it could, I guess, gain some traction. Although I think people tend to still assign that sort of criminal activity or criminal activity to the local government, the municipal government. So it would take some work for, I think, a competitor to make that an issue and to find the connection. So, for example, what people have been saying about Providence is it might have something to do with this tying cops' hands with this Community Safety Act, which I called the Gangland Security Act, because it gives an incredible amount of leverage to gangs to operate around the police department. So that's been getting a lot of the public blame for people inclined to look for something. So if another politician were going to try to hang this on Raimondo, they'd have to find some trigger, and I'm not sure what that would be, because a lot of this is just local issue stuff.
And it's still a long way to go. Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. He is Justin Katz. Justin, great as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Great to talk to you.
Folks, there it is. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Phone lines are now open between now and 2 o'clock, 766-1380. Good afternoon to all on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. My friend Kerry is doing a great job. I do want to repeat, folks, there was a scare earlier at CCRI in Warwick. Apparently, at one point, they issued a seek shelter in place, but CCRI security and the Warwick police did not find any type of viable threat. So that was lifted. There was a report, again, initially, this goes back last hour, of some kind of activity. Someone thought they saw someone carrying a weapon, but CCRI has said they are going to keep a police presence, but CCRI Warwick campus, things have resumed normal. Again, phone number 766-1380. Folks, there is a little bit of snow expected in the forecast. Remember, if you find yourself in an accident, four words, West Fountain Auto Body. Call Kenny and Patricia today at West Fountain, 272-3340. West Fountain Auto Body. Why? They're going to work for you, not the insurance company. West Fountain Auto Body. Call them, 272-3340. Located 400 West Fountain Street in Providence. It's West Fountain Auto Body. They're the best. Now, sometimes maybe it's your fault. Maybe you weren't paying attention and you didn't get into a fender bender. Whether it's a small dent or a nearly totaled vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body. If you find yourself in an accident, or maybe you were in an accident and you just haven't gotten it fixed yet, you're not sure what to do, call them first, West Fountain, 272-3340, 272-3340, West Fountain Auto Body. So tomorrow night, President Trump will deliver his State of the Union speech, and Congressman David Cicilline was on Channel 12 this morning.
Congressman.
Is this you?
Yeah, you too. Let's get Rhode Island Congressman David Cicilline. Good morning to you,
Good
Congressman.
Morning. Is this you?
Yeah, you too. Let's get right to it. So since the last time we saw you, there was a vote for the government shutdown. You voted against the bill. Tell us why.
Yeah, this was the fourth continuing resolution that has been brought before the Congress.
All talking points, folks.
It didn't
include
funding for the VA, for the Veterans Choice Program. It didn't address funding for the opioid crisis. It didn't provide disaster relief. So there were a number of things.
It's all talking points. To see if it says anything else.
Right. You're a member of the House Judiciary Committee. What did you make of the report last week that the president tried to fire special counsel Robert Mueller last summer?
And right,
do you think
on.
Congress...
Pause the tape. Hold on. I want
to
hear what he says about immigration. All right. All talking points on the shutdown.
...work for a potential immigration deal today, offering a path to citizenship for some of those dreamers in exchange for money to build the president's proposed wall. So do you think it's a fair deal?
Look, I will have to see the deal, but I think what we need to do is take care of the dreamers first, and then we can have a longer conversation about comprehensive immigration reform. We've said before we should do the dreamers, do border security. We should do that in a smart way, using technology. So let's see what the proposal is. But this bigger question of comprehensive immigration reform is going to take a little bit longer.
Right.
Again, more talking points, folks. Again, nothing against Danielle North. I think she does a very good job. This was Congressman Cicilline on Channel 12 this morning. It's nonstop talking points. Notice he won't say wall, right? It's border security. Won't say wall. Everything so far, he just rattles right through them. And it's basically, and I'm not saying that this is supposed to be some kind of contentious back and forth by any means. But this has almost become a regular segment where he goes in there on Monday mornings while he's in town, comes back for the weekend, campaigns, blah, blah, blah. And then before he heads back to Washington, he heads over to Channel 12. And you get to hear exactly whatever the latest talking points are. I'm going to play a little bit more of that coming up in just a moment. But, folks, another reminder about our friends at K&R Auto Salvage.
call them today. Karen, her family, what a tremendous job they do with K&R Auto Salvage. 353-9200. I'll tell you, call K&R. K&R Auto Salvage is like President Trump. They just get it done, right? 353-9200. They offer used car parts, 80% off retail prices, access to nationwide inventory, highest price for your junk car, located right in North Providence. It's K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. And right now, they're looking to hire a salesperson and a tow truck operator. Call K&R Auto Salvage today. They're the best. 353-9200. Again, 80% off retail prices. They have access to nationwide inventory, wholesale used auto parts, guaranteed quality, foreign American auto and truck parts. Call K&R. 353-9200. Call them. 353-9200. Congressman Cicilline, let's go back. This is him this morning on this Monday on Channel 12.
Right. You're a member of the House Judiciary Committee. What did you make of the report last week that the president tried to fire special counsel Robert Mueller last summer? And do you think Congress should act to protect Mueller?
Yes, we have legislation pending both in the House and the Senate that would protect the special counsel and would require good cause before he could be fired. I think this is additional evidence of the president's effort to impede, interfere, or obstruct this very serious investigation. And it's very, very alarming.
All right.
Now, again, just so we're clear, there was no report he tried to. The latest we could get was he floated it out there, and then his lawyers said, or whoever, this is not a good idea. But it's not like he was going through the motions, right? Like, get him over here, or whatever. Put the paperwork together. So, even that is not accurate, that the president was trying to do that. Maybe he was frustrated, explored it. But there's a huge, huge difference between that. Good afternoon, Rosalind. Drain the Rhode Island swamp, she says. I agree with you. Oh, absolutely. If there was ever a year to vote out the incumbents, without question. Hey, folks, now, over the next couple of days, it is going to be cold. I want to remind you about JKL Engineering. Call them today. Reduce your oil bill by as much as 90%. JKL Engineering. Highest rebates in the market. They do new installation or replacement of high-efficiency gas boilers serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. It's JKL Engineering. Call them 351-7600, 401-351-7600, JKL Engineering. Estimates are free. Financing is available for both residential and commercial. Call JKL Engineering. Remember, they do it right the first time. Estimates are free. Financing is available. JKL Engineering, 351-7600. Doesn't that sound nice? Reduce your oil bill by as much as 90%. How about that? Call JKL, 351-7600. This morning on Channel 12, the guest with Danielle North, Congressman David Cicilline.
State of the Union tomorrow night, and I know a lot of Democrats are already preparing for what the response may be, depending on what the president may say. But are there things that you're hopeful that the president will say tomorrow night?
Well, I hope the president will talk about, while there has been some good economic news, that it hasn't reached most people. Many Rhode Islanders, many people across the country are still working too hard, working two and three jobs, not making enough to get ahead. So I hope the president will talk about that. I hope the president will talk about a real infrastructure bill to rebuild our roads, our bridges, our transit systems. And I hope that the president will set forth a commitment to fund the VA choice program, to fund the opioid crisis, to fund disaster relief, to provide a real budget for the year, not this month-to-month sort of thing.
I do think that some Rhode Islanders and Massachusetts residents are feeling some of the good news. I mean, we've been covering reports for several weeks of companies offering bonuses in light of the tax cut plan, changes to 401k where companies are boosting the amount after the tax cut.
Look,
plan went through.
There are going to be some short-term gains.
Look at that. How about that, folks? Danielle North. How can it all be negative? People are keeping more of their own money. If it was up to Cicilline, he would take your money, right? Good for Danielle North. Bonuses given out? CVS giving out bonuses? What's the bad news here? Short-term gains. That's what Cicilline calls when you get to keep more of your own money. It's a short-term gain. Let's have more short-term gains. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380 is our phone number. I want to remind you about our friends at Water Filter Company. They're the best. You know, my heart was breaking reading that story in the Valley Breeze. Ugh, those poor people can't even use the faucet to rinse off fruit. Can't even take a shower because the water's so contaminated. Folks, call Water Filter Company today. Protect yourself, protect your family, your pets. Water Filter Company, located in North Kingstown, 294-2400. 401-294-2400, and explore having a water filter installed in your home. Remember, bottled water is an unregulated industry. It is. You really don't know what's in there. You think it's clean, but you don't know that. Water Filter Company. Burrville had a boil alert. Don't drink the water. Those poor people in Smithfield, and then also going over the line, North Smithfield into Massachusetts. Don't drink the water. Different communities around Rhode Island. Folks, don't take any chances. Call for a free consultation. Water Filter Company. 294-2400. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. Good for Danielle North with saying, you know, Congressman, it's not all bad news. And your idea of short-term gain, people, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, seem excited at the thought that they're keeping more of their own money.
Rhode Island Congressman David Cicilline, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Congressman.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Let's
to fund disaster relief, to provide a real budget for the year, not this month-to-month sort of thing.
I do think that some Rhode Islanders and Massachusetts residents are feeling some of the good news. I mean, we've been covering reports for several weeks of companies offering bonuses in light of the tax cut plan, changes to 401k where companies are boosting the amount after the tax cut plan went through.
There are going to be some short-term gains in this, but let's not forget 83% of the tax cuts go to the top 1%. 13 million people will lose their health insurance. 86 million working-class families will see a tax increase.
And all talking points. Folks, this is very simple. Again, good afternoon at 153. It's Sean DePietro. Listen, and again, nothing against Daniel North. If you pay more in taxes, if there's a tax cut, then of course you're going to save the most because you're paying the most of the taxes. If there's someone that earns, as an example, $500,000 a year, they're paying more in taxes than the person that earns $40,000 a year or $50,000 a year. So if there's a tax cut, the person that earns $500,000 is in fact going to get a bigger tax cut, but that individual is paying more in taxes. It's all talking points. This business of health insurance, Governor Raimondo, Governor Baker, we can't afford to have all these people on Medicaid. People need to work and then be covered under their employer, period. And we need more competition as far as health insurance. The government can't take care of everybody. But boy, he just goes right back to talking points, doesn't he? Cicilline. It's just one talking point after another. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program, and this week we will have another gift certificate to give away. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Whether it's lunch or dinner, you're going to love it. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. And again, they're going to have a big night coming up on Sunday, that full bar and the big screen TVs and the Super Bowl and everything else. They had a big crowd there for the AFC Championship game. Let me just hear how these talking points end.
And it's made it easier to ship American jobs overseas. So in the short term, there may be some modest tax cut, but over the long term, working families, middle class families, are going to pay more. And
you know, it's just that is not true by any means. That is absolutely not true in any way. And they can't stand the fact that people are going to cheer President Trump. He doesn't look at this. He doesn't say, "I think it is great that CBS gave out bonuses." Zero. It is one thing. I like how Danielle North already is perceptive. that the president is not going to say anything that someone like Congressman Cicilline is going to like. I mean, it's just, it's not in their makeup. It's impossible. They already have the response probably written, as a matter of fact. So it doesn't even seem like it's going to matter. Folks, just a reminder, our friends at Paul Massey Chevrolet, Rhode Island's number one Chevrolet dealer, they want you to celebrate right now. They want, looking to set new records this year. Stop in and test drive the Paul Massey, that Chevy Silverado. There is a little bit of snow in the forecast. You're not going to worry about snow in the forecast if you're behind the wheel of a Paul Massey Chevy Silverado. Colorado, Equinox, Traverse, Trax, Tahoe, Suburban. Paul Massey Chevrolet, Route 44, Taunton Avenue in East Providence. They absolutely are the best. And right now, current GM leases, how about the Silverado? You're going to save $10,000. Stop in and see them. $289 a month, 39 months, $2,488 total due at signing. You know, on Friday, I saw my friends at Team Massey for service. There's no one better with service than Paul Massey. But stop in and test drive the Paul Massey, the Chevy Silverado, the Colorado, Equinox, Traverse, Trax, Tahoe, Suburban. Every need, they have you covered. It's Route 44, Taunton Avenue in East Providence, and always online at paulmassey.com. Remember, Facebook Live, we're going to say so long to our friends with FB Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. Remember, you can be part of Facebook Live. You just go to my Facebook page, which is John DePietro Show, and then boom, it's very, very interactive. And also, folks, visit the website, WNRI.com, where you can also listen live online, or if you have TuneIn or Simple Radio app, you just search, or Alexa, WNRI. But go online, and then we also have each hour of the show podcast. If you missed with having Justin Katz on, you can listen to that and a lot more. It's all at WNRI.com. So big day, obviously, the big local story of the day. The Patriots are off to Minneapolis. During the course of the week, again, I have been to a number of Super Bowls. I'll tell you some Super Bowl stories during the course of the week. It's like nothing else. It's fascinating. It's fantastic. They are favored in the big game. There's no novelty here. It is. It's too bad it's not a nicer place. I mean, there's nothing. I have been to Minneapolis in the wintertime, and it is brutal. You can't go outside. The buildings even have walkways to each other because the weather is so brutal. But Brady and company, they did leave from TF Green Airport. They had a big send-off at Gillette Stadium. And then they also had somewhat of a decent crowd, I believe, at TF Green, where they fly in and out of. But it is amazing to watch when they get there. And, as you know, Brady and Belichick, as I said, there's no novelty. It is all business when they get there. And they are on a mission. And as much as, you know, Philadelphia, they're tough and they're pumped, it's just night and day when you're dealing with people that they prepare all season for this game. This is what this game is all about. It's John DePietro. Listen, enjoy this Monday. Be careful tomorrow in the snow. Now, stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next. Remember, follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show, and visit the website, DePietro.com. John Dion is next right here on AM 1380, and it's 95.1 FM, and it's WNRI.
WNRI and W236 CW Woonsocket, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
USA Radio News.